Proper Sport at 6. The FL 72 on Radio Yorkshire.
Hello and welcome along, Kit. It's that time of the week once again. Happy New Year, everybody. Myself, Sam Bridges, and Tom Carnduff are back for another year on the FL 72. We both piled it on over Christmas, so looking pretty beefy, but we'll discuss all of the festive football issues over the next hour, including Leeds United. A mixed Christmas, I think it's fair to say, for the Whites. We'll discuss it all in full. We'll discuss the goings-on at all of our other Yorkshire sides as well. A change at the top at Sheffield Wednesday, and well, Barnsley picking up a little bit of form as well. Also a change at Nottingham Forest. Mark Warburton out of the door. Aitor Karanka, the bookies' favourite there at the moment. We'll discuss all of the transfer news as well, because it's January, so the window is fully open. We'll have Crawley Town Watch, Owen Coyle's life stories as well. Returns for 2018. And we say Happy New Year to Tom Carnduff.
Hi, hello.
Do you say Happy New Year? I don't really do it, but
I do if someone says to me.
You didn't just do it to me. I said it to you and you just said
Happy
hello.
Happy New Year.
Thanks, Tom.
You usually have to be provoked on these types of things. Sentiment, is that the word?
I suppose so.
Not that good at it, really.
No.
Like at Christmas, when I, you know, you go around friends and family, I didn't really... I know the Merry Christmas thing, but do you say, like, have a good day and all that? It was a tough week,
do you
really.
Say, have a good day?
Well, have
to
a good...
who?
To
who?
Have a good Christmas day? I don't know.
You're inventing sentiment there.
I struggled a bit in that aspect of the whole Christmas thing. But, yeah, good. Back 2018, back at it again. Should be good.
Yes, should be.
There you go.
Should be. Lots to discuss because it's been a busy old festive period. We've not been on for quite a while.
Yeah, had a couple of weeks off, haven't we?
Yeah, we've had a break, unlike the football. Plenty of it. We'll start with Yorkshire News and with Leeds United as well. You've said mixed results over Christmas here. Are you not too happy with the way that the calendar year ended?
They had good Christmas, of course. The win over Hull, the win away at Burton as well. Contrasting performances, really. And then this weekend's been a bit disappointing, I suppose, for Leeds. Seems a bit of a missed opportunity. Didn't perform well at Birmingham. You felt if they probably did perform, that they would have won that game. I didn't think Birmingham... They played well, but there's a reason they're down at that end of the table. And, Forest played well, played much better. And couldn't take the chances that were presented to them. And they were creating chances. Just couldn't finish them. As Thomas Christiansen said after the game, it was like the opposite to Hull, where he didn't think they deserved the win. They probably didn't against Hull, but managed to do it, and they deserved the win against Forest and couldn't get the win. So, yeah, a bit of a mixed week and a half for Leeds. A good Christmas period, but couldn't really follow it up with a strong start to the year.
Yeah, over most of December, we talked about the actual month being one that where Leeds could pick up plenty of points. And I suppose out of all of the games there, you might have expected to go to Birmingham and get a victory with the form they were in. Didn't turn out that way. But as a month as a whole, it was a pretty decent December.
Yeah, it was a good December. Spoke before about the period from QPR away to Forest at home. Played a lot of teams in the bottom half of the table, and 13 points out of a possible 18 is a pretty good return. You just feel it should have been 15 with that on Monday. Of course, Samuel Saiz was wonderful, really, throughout. Created chances for both Roof and Hernandez. Great chances that weren't scored. Overall, it was positive. It's just a shame that the two dropped points games came at the end of it, because it makes it easy to forget what a good run Leeds were on before then. But a couple of weeks away from league action now. Newport at the weekend's chance for squad to be rotated. Christiansen confirmed after the game yesterday that Cameron Borthwick-Jackson will be starting. against Newport, which I
found
quite interesting. Yeah,
there's a few questions that he will be out the door rather than getting another chance.
Well, that's kind of the question was, Cameron Borthwick-Jackson, what's his future? He's on a season-long loan. Is he going to see out the season? And his response was, I don't know, but I do know that he will start our next game. So obviously he's going to start him against Newport. I think he played against Newport earlier in the season in the Carabao Cup game. But it's a weird one. If he doesn't see him having a future here, if they're going to send him back, which I think they probably should send him back to Man United, he's not playing here. He's barely making the squad at times now. It seems a bit pointless to have him around, really. It's an odd one that he's going to play him against Newport, because how far are Leeds going to progress in the FA Cup? If they get to the latter stages, is he still going to squad rotate? You don't know. You don't know. So, yeah, an interesting one. Found it quite interesting that he did say he's going to start against Newport, but for me, it just seems a bit of a waste. Why he's there? They could free up that spot in the squad for another loan player to come in. He's just not contributing. He's not even making the squad at times. If you go and he's on the bench, like Anita, who hasn't played much, came on at the weekend, came on yesterday, of course, but at least he's been involved in the squad and he is a part of it. Borthwick Jackson's rarely really making the squad.
Yeah, it is an interesting one with him. Obviously, he's not really featured, and as you said, if he's not going to be getting a game, all right, he's getting a start against Newport, but the spot probably better opened up. Do you think there may be another fullback incoming for Leeds, or do you think they might stick it out with what they've got?
I asked him yesterday about the left-back position, and he basically replied saying, all I know is that Vernon came in and did a good job. So it shows the squad depth I have, and they've got a lot of good right backs. They've got a lot of right backs in the squad, but they've not got any left backs. The left backs are Cameron Borthwick-Jackson and Tyler Denton. One's out on loan, one's a loanee. So it's an area they should improve for me. It should be a priority area. Berardi's obviously a fan favourite, but he's a right back, and I think I'd prefer him to go back to right back to take the pressure off Aylin a bit. It means that Aylin and Berardi can be rotated. It'll bring out the best in them. I suppose that the saving grace is that Berardi's effort has kind of made up for it. He's willing to put in that effort, that commitment, despite being out of position. But you imagine it's probably one of two, maybe three areas that Leeds do need to look at improving this month, because there are only a few minor tweaks away from it. You feel it's not like massive amounts needs to be done. There are a couple of signings away, I think, from genuinely being proper promotion contenders in this division.
A little bit quiet on Facebook tonight. Remember, you can get your comments and questions in. Philip has been in touch, though, says, of course, I would like to see Leeds back in the Premier League, but with the present squad, it will not happen. One thing you need in the Championship is consistency, and that is very much lacking at Elland Road. Can't rely on luck most of the time, which is what happened against Hull, Norwich, etc. You have to be able to play two, which means being creative and converting those creative chances, something like Wood did. Is that a bit unfair criticism? Is consistency the issue in Leeds 6 in the table at the moment? New manager who only came in at the start of the season. A lot of new players to bed in. Apart from that blip, which was obviously horrendous, but they seem to have got over that now and be a bit smarter, Leeds.
Yeah, I think they're probably overachieving this year given everything that happened in the summer, the changes that were made from the very top in the owner, through to a new board, through to a new head coach, to a new squad. That's why I think players like Saiz have just come in and hit the ground running. Alioski as well, bit of a dip at the moment, but his adjustment to the division has been good. I think Lasoga, with the injury problems he had, he was clearly not match fit, I think, as well when he came here, but he kept playing. I don't know whether there was something wrong there, but he kept playing. I think given the circumstances, the fact he's adjusting to a new division, his return's not that bad. He's contributed with goals. I think Leeds probably do need a striker to really be that competition, because Roof, with the ball at his feet, he can do things. But like Birmingham, they're constantly playing long balls into him. It just doesn't work. But I don't know if they've been inconsistent. I think it's just that the Norwich and Hull games, they weren't great, but you probably learn more about a team, the fact that they're not great and they're winning. And you much prefer it to that than games yesterday where they really feel like they should have won. And they didn't. It's just fine margins, I suppose. On another day, that roof shot's going a couple of centimetres below. The Hernandez shot's probably going a couple of centimetres to the right and you're winning the game. So it's fine margins, but at least they are creating the chances. It is that on another day they probably would have won it. At least the chances are being created, because I think the real concern would be if they're looking like they're not going to win at all when they should be.
Edwards been in touch as goalkeeper, also a priority. Still for you, or has things calmed down in that area now?
I'm growing to Felix a bit now. I think having watched him, he's more commanding in his area. He still doesn't catch the ball enough, which is annoying. It creeps into the frustration of the crowd. He does prefer to punch and parries the ball into the path of players quite a lot. Like Birmingham, I don't know if he could have done better. It was difficult, but I don't know. I think Felix obviously keeping a lot of clean sheets. I know the defence is a lot to it, but he's a part of that defence. So in one way or another, he's contributing to it. He's a very good shot stopper. He's made a few big saves in recent weeks as well. He's kind of made up for it in that way. There are little things that need to probably be improved about his game, but in terms of priority, I think goalkeeper goes down the list a bit now after this month as well. He's played quite well. There have been a couple of mistakes, but depending how much finances you got, you're probably going to prioritise everywhere else, because they're not desperate, I feel, for a goalkeeper based on Felix's recent form.
Everywhere else, what's top priority? Is it centre-forward?
Left-back, striker. I think Birmingham probably highlighted that a midfielder could also be quite good, and they seem quite heavy with midfield, but when they didn't have both Vieira and O'Kane, the midfield was very weak. Phillips and Shocknessy, that partnership didn't really work. There wasn't the commanding presence in central midfield that they probably needed. So yeah, it's a difficult one, but definitely for me, I think priority left-back, and natural left-back, and an out-and-out striker as well, who can provide that competition to Lasoga and Roof, and could be kind of relied on, obviously, to score goals. Going to what I just saw the comment coming on Facebook, Philip Debrin put, Roof is OK, but he scores a hat-trick and then nothing for 2 to 3 games, which is probably right. You need a bit more consistency than that. You need the goals spread out rather than 3 in one game and nothing for the next couple.
But that's, yeah, with Roof, though, he's that kind of player, isn't he? He's not going to be like a Chris Wood and get you the 20, 25 goals a season. He is probably going to come in fits and starts. But there's a comment there that's just come in from Matthew talking about Lasoga, saying he should never play for Leeds again. Again, I don't know if that's a bit harsh, but a bit of sticks come in for him. But he's not performed, and I suppose that is the guy that Leeds were hoping that would come in and replace Chris Wood and get those goals, rather than having to rely on Roof's consistency.
Yeah, it's a bit sceptical of the Lasoga signing, purely for the fact that he was seen at one point as good enough to compete with Chris Wood, and when Chris Wood left, was seen as good enough to replace him. I don't know, I think once he starts, I think he needs a run of games to get back into the flow of it again. He's a proper poacher-type striker. I'd rather have the ball in the box, because I think when he's on the ball, he can finish. He can finish. It's more of whether he wants to be that in-the-box-type striker as opposed to your target man. And with the likes of Saiz, Alioski, when he can perform Hernandez, he should really get that service to finish. I just think he needs a bit more of a run of games, and I think that's why another striker to come in and provide that competition. You know, when Lasoga's not scoring, whoever else probably will, it will probably bring out the best in him, I think. So I think it's just competition. I think it's having there someone there who will really push him and probably bring out the best in him. And, you know, regardless, it will then provide goals for the squad, which I think are needed at the moment with all the creativity they've got.
Yeah, I think Lasoga for me just still doesn't look fit enough. He reminds me of Chris Wood when he first came, and he was a little bit heavy, a little sluggish, and not the Chris Wood that he was before. Full pre-season under his belt last year, obviously got the goals that got him the move to Burnley in the end, but he just reminds me of that Lasoga. Just, I don't think Leeds are going to see the best of him. I just think he's out on loan, and I don't think, not that he's not fully committed, but I don't think that he's going to be able to get in the best shape possible to give his best for Leeds during this spell.
Yeah, it's an odd one because he really should be here with a point to prove, shouldn't he?
Should be.
And you feel that that's probably in the back of his mind. The attitude of him at the start was pretty exceptional, in fairness. The fact that he was prepared pretty much to miss the birth of his child to play. And you kind of go, well, he probably has got this point to prove. He was scoring goals. He was doing quite well. He was contributing assists as well as goals. Leeds were playing well. I don't know. It's just that he does look quite sluggish. He does look unfit when he's on. And I don't know whether it's he's being required to, as silly as it sounds, to run more than he is. Maybe he prefers to just be the striker who is in the box, just tries to create or to score the chances presented to him. But yeah, I think for a team that are up where they are, a bit similar to Huddersfield last year, everyone's kind of got that out-and-out striker who can fire goals in the top six and maybe one or two. Leeds don't have that. Roof can contribute goals, but not enough, I think, for where they want to be. And that's not a criticism of him. I think he's a good player to have around the squad. I just don't think that he should be solely relied upon as the striker to score goals. I suppose the bit of a saving grace is the midfield. In Saiz, Hernandez, Alioski as well can score goals, but you do need that striker, that out-and-out striker who is going to be your main goal getter.
Yeah, haven't we looked at it, didn't we, before Christmas, where Leeds players were in the top scoring charts in the Championship, and still now, quick glance, you've got to go down to 16th to find Kemar Roof with his seven goals. But then, you know, some of the others are at Sheffield United, just dropped out now, but Clark has 15, Vidra has 14 for Derby, Asamoah Longa for Middlesbrough, right, they're still round and about with 12, your lad from Wolves as well has 12 goals. Lewis Graben doing well for Sunderland with 12 goals, but then Reid for Bristol City, Adoma for Villa, both have got 11. And again, Jota has got 10 for Wolves as well, just showing their dominance. But Leeds players just aren't in that mix, and that is the problem. And the other team there now, who are going through a similar bad time that Leeds did, at Cardiff, four defeats on a bounce, and they're similar. They don't have that out-and-out goal scorer. They rely on being tight and nicking goals.
It's annoying because there are options out there, and I've said it before, I think for me Leonardo Azzurra at Leicester would fit the bill quite well for this team, the style that they
still
want to play.
Still banging that drum.
I think he is, because I think there's a goal getter there in this division who's not playing, who apparently Sheffield Wednesday, according to the papers, and a couple of others are looking at. Well, if Leeds want this Lasoga type big man up front to play off, well, he's proven in this division. He had good seasons with Brighton, went to Leicester in the Premier League. He's not involved now. It just seems that, and it's probably even a loan move could probably get him, because they probably want him out playing football. There's an option there, and it's just the fact that I think this way they've got to go for the Championship standard, Championship experienced striker, just to help out a bit. Because obviously up there you've got Saiz, Alioski, who are new to the division. Lasoga, new to the division. Hernandez has only been here for a year, but, of course, playing very well. I just think that experience will help out. And when you come into a finishing line, as we saw last year with Leeds, they collapsed. Someone who knows what it takes, someone who's been there, done it, and can obviously contribute on the pitch as well. So there are options out there. It's just that you're a bit worried that they're quite laid back about it. The line seems to be it's going to be a quiet window. And I don't know whether they mean quiet compared to the summer, because they do need a couple of players, I think, for now. They're signing, Yusuke Idiguchi from Japan. Today they're going to sign Apo Halmer from Helsinki as well, 19-year-old defender, but he's going to be for the development squad. So they do need a couple of players for now. Because, like I said, they're not far off. There are a couple of tweaks off it, and you feel that they are going to be genuinely up there at the end.
Do you think it's worth that? Not necessarily gamble and bet in the ranch, as Danny Parkinson likes to say on Radio Yorkshire. Spending maybe a little bit more at this point than maybe they had planned. Obviously, the Chris Wood money still in the bank. They didn't spend that in August with the short notice that they had on that sale. They maybe should have a little go in a good position, sixth place at the start of 2018. Obviously, we've seen some of the other sides that are now dropping out. Sheffield United, Borough, Preston, all decent sides. But the opportunity this year is for Leeds to get into the top six is a big one.
Yeah, it's the opportunity is there. The division's very open this season. Apart from Wolves, who I think are your runaway leaders now, who are going to win it, I think even second's up for grabs. And I'd say Leeds are in that race for second because they're in the top six. It's very open. It would feel like a wasted opportunity not to do it now. They've been in this position before in 2010-11, where they were second after beating QPR going into the new year. The squad needed a couple of little additions and they didn't make them and it was a missed opportunity. They're again in this opportunity. Like last year, the squad needed a couple of adjustments, didn't do it. If you spend, you know, strikers cost money. They're the most expensive players, aren't they? They're the ones that get your goals. They're the ones that make the difference. If you spend near £10 million on a striker, in this division, you should be able to get goals. And it's not like after this year, they're going to be useless. You imagine if you're going to spend that much, they're going to be able to provide for a couple of seasons at least, and then you've got your money's worth. I just think that if they are in top six publicly, they've said it's the aim. I think in secret, they probably won't want to admit it, but they are probably eyeing up top two. They know how open it is. A couple of wins, the kind of swing goes their way. They could find themselves in second. It's a very open division. Little adjustments like that, it's going to cost a bit, but then the rewards are far greater of securing promotion to the Premier League. 10 million will look like absolutely nothing if that happens.
Do you think top two is possible? There's 6 points off it at the moment.
I think it is. I think it is. Because like I said, it's very open. Everyone seems to have been winning, losing, hitting rough patches. It is that two-goal swing in their favour. Two-game swing in their favour and they're up there and it's very easily done. They've got to play these teams once again. They've got to play the likes of Bristol City. They've got to play Cardiff at home. They've got to play Wolves at home, which is going to be tough, but they've got to play them at home. Sheffield Wednesday as well. They've got to play them at home. I know they're not up there, but they're always a tough opponent, so that's potential for 3 points. They've got to play the teams again and they're going to pick up points there, hopefully, if they get the victory. So it's the fact they're not a million miles away. They're so close. They are literally within touching distance of that second spot. And you feel that probably the starting 11 probably is good enough to do it. I think the starting 11 is good enough to do it. But I don't think the squad is. And that's where these couple of minor additions come in.
So how would you compare starting 11 and the squad to the other contenders in there? Obviously, Wolves are leading the way. I don't think anybody's saying that Leeds United starting 11 is better than
it's
the ones.
Pretty much Wolves are in their own league now.
Wolves are away. Compared to Derby now sitting second, do you think Derby probably slightly stronger? I think experience-wise, they probably are.
They are experience-wise, but in terms of quality, I'd say Leeds pretty much match them most of the pitch. But again, it showed when Derby played Leeds. Derby can bring on some talent from the bench. Look at that. Sam Winnall, goal getter. Thorne, obviously very good. Martin as well. These are players who are experienced in this division. Leeds don't have that. But in terms of...
You got no Joe Ledley in that team either.
But I mean, in terms of you're looking at your Vyman, Vidra, Russell, I think Hernandez, Saez, Alioski have got the talent to rival that. Defensively, Leeds have been very solid at the back. You've got to look at the number of clean sheets they've got. They can rival that. But again, it's the squad's not there. The squad's not quite there to rival these. They can, on their day, they could probably beat them. I think on their day, they can beat anyone. But in the long run, when you get heavy fixture congestion like we have done in the past couple of weeks, kind of comes undone a bit when you have to squad rotate because then the quality, with the greatest respect, does drop down quite a bit.
Yeah, compared to Cardiff?
I'd say so, yeah. I think so. You look at Cardiff, who they've hit pretty rough patch themselves, really, at the moment.
Patch four in a row. They've lost to Bolton, they've lost to Fulham, they've lost to Preston, and then QPR, which are games that you probably say they should be winning at this stage if they want to get that second automatic spot.
I think it's with Cardiff, though. Obviously, it's I think individual quality leads are much better, but they've obviously got the players that suit the style of football that the manager plays. It's effective and it works, but again, I know Leeds went down there and lost, and the same with Wolves, but I think Leeds probably beat themselves more than Cardiff beat Leeds. They have got the 11 to match anyone. And on their day, and this may be where it could come in the second half of the season, that starting 11 is probably capable of winning. As we saw yesterday, if they play like that, they're going to win games. They just need to take those chances. Like I said, on another day, it could be a couple of centimetres lower on roof shot, that's in. A couple of centimetres to the right with Hernandez, that's in. And they're going to win those games, but it's just the squad. I don't think the squad is there when Lasoga and Roof aren't scoring. Grott is the go-to person who has been very ineffective currently, doesn't do a lot at the moment. Midfielders, as it showed at Birmingham, if they need to rotate them, they're going to struggle. If Janssen or Cooper pick up an injury or suspension, okay, Pennington's there, but it's very light. It's just having that bit of reinforcement.
Some of the other squads in there, the likes of Villa.
I think Villa are obviously a strong outfit. But then, I don't know, I think it's the fact that you kind of, how to put it, I think based on Leeds' record in the Championship, which overall hasn't been great apart from a few seasons where it obviously nearly made playoffs in the second time they've been in the Championship since promotion from League One, you're kind of writing them off a bit purely because you're looking at Wolves, who are runaway. Wolves are runaway. They're promoted pretty much already. They're far ahead. Derby have had experience of it. Villa, of course, we know the quality. Then Bristol City and Cardiff are your wild cards a bit. Middlesbrough, Sheffield United, very good teams who we expected a lot from. I think it's just easy to kind of write Leeds off a bit. But at the end of the day, they are sixth after 26 games. Well over the halfway point now. They've still got 20 to go. They've obviously shown that they can play. A good start to the season helped massively. It's just that with how open it is, it's remarkably open, the division. Look at that second spot that pretty much everyone's been in second, and now it's Derby's turn. So open, it would feel like a massive missed opportunity if they don't invest just a bit. Not asking for much, but a couple of players this month, and you know, I think they could actually. I genuinely think they could be top two if they make those additions.
Going to be interesting because we've seen Andrea Radrazzani. He's tried to avoid being seen as another Leeds owner that's going to sack managers, that's not going to invest in the team. And obviously, this time last year, the hope was in the same position. Leeds on the verge of looking decent, having a playoff push. And it got to the end of the window, and Gary Monk, you know, wasn't happy, and he didn't get what he wanted in the window, and Leeds did then collapse towards the end of the season. For me, it was down to depth of squad rather than anything else. Do you think that the owner might look at that? And obviously, he was around last January and saw what happened and saw how Leeds did fall away, and he won't want to let that happen again with the target being very established top six.
Yeah, well, obviously, the 50-50 ownership, 50% ownership issue came in last window where one co-owner wanted to sign, one co-owner did not. You can obviously probably work out which one was which, but it's a long-term project at Leeds. It's so easy to forget that at the moment, but it is a long-term project. They've said top six, but really it's going to take a few years to probably be where they want to be in terms of kind of long-term.
On the other hand, it could take 5 months.
But that's the thing. If it comes to it, they're not going to go, like now, they're not going to go, well, it doesn't matter if we don't get, if we just fall out now. They've got to be looking at it and saying, well, we are sixth. We are in the playoffs. And we know we've said top six, but to start, to have the 6 months or whatever it's been that we have had, given all the changes, it's been quite remarkable that Leeds are up there and doing that. It is long-term, but if the opportunity is there now, then why not take it? The opportunity is there long term. If you sign, spend a bit on a striker, they're going to be there with you for a couple of seasons unless you get a big money offer, then you're returning on your investment and more. So it's not like they need to do short term, go and spend £10 million on a 38-year-old striker who'll probably get you a few goals in the second part of the season. If they sign these players, they're going to be medium term signings. They're going to be able to do it now and do it in the future, and that's what they need.
Let's get to some of the comments on Facebook. We'll talk about the rest of the division and more of the Yorkshire sides very shortly. Philip says, our last two league defeats have been against the teams at the top in Wolves and Birmingham, right at the foot of the table. For Birmingham, they're massively underachieving. They brought on a £6 million winger off the bench. Leeds don't have that depth.
It's an odd one, Birmingham, isn't it?
Yeah,
something's not clicked. I don't know what it is.
They have depth, but they've certainly got talent that is underperforming.
Yeah, Hotter especially has been a bizarre one. Very good at Brentford, by all accounts. It has been far from the player that we knew at Birmingham. So yeah, curious case there. What's exactly gone wrong? Because it's they've spent a bit. They've got players who are decent enough. But it has gone wrong, so an interesting one. But it is that everyone seems to have a super sub, and you don't know if Leeds have that.
Philip says Jordan Hugel would fit the bill for me for Leeds, and I think Leeds need a winger as well. Alioski, the only out and out winger fit at the moment.
Yeah, the winger one's interesting. I suppose you got Chubitsky and Hernandez, of course, who's been off the bench, who's playing there. Sacco, who provides the pace, of course, divides a bit of opinion. So you feel that they'll probably feel they've got the depth in that position. Hugo's going to be an interesting one. Of course, the saga that followed in the summer with the transfer request, they didn't sell him. I think they were looking for about £7 million. £8 million was the price tag. Could fit the bill. It's just kind of what Leeds want. If they want a Lasoga-esque type mould of player, a big man, I'm not too sure. But again, it shows the options are out there. The options are out there. It's just that it's going to cost money to get a player in that area of the pitch. It's just how the transfer market works.
A few comments on Lasoga. Mark says Lasoga's a big physical presence, but doesn't seem to want to impose himself on the game. Still looks unfit. Matthew says Lasoga's too big, not fat. Big. As somebody called Noel Whelan said yesterday, he's utterly ripped, but needs to lose some muscle in order to become more mobile. I wouldn't say he's fat. I just don't think he's much fit and sharp. I think probably top heavy is probably the way I would describe him.
Yeah.
I said that, I think if you look at Chris Wood when he signed for Leeds, so the Chris Wood that then turned up on day one of the season under Gary Monk, I think you'd see that there was a difference in physique there.
Yeah, I think he's had a bit of a disrupted season, though, Lasoga. You got to look at when he kind of started. He came in, had a good month. Leeds had a good month. He was contributing goals. He was contributing assists as well. I think he got a couple of those. So I think he needs to find the back of the net and start to build that motivation. Been out injured for a bit, coming off the bench. Roof's retained the starting spot pretty much from QPR. Going on forwards, he's been the striker, so Lasoga hasn't been able to get in. As silly as it sounds, I know it's Newport in League 2, but could be a game to start Lasoga on Sunday. Opportunity to score goals there, with the greatest respect. They've scored 5 against them earlier in the season. Not saying it's going to be a walk in the park, but they should be looking at this as a good opportunity for players like Lasoga to get going again. Not just in goals, but fitness, play some football, start a game, and get back into the rhythm of it, because they've got some difficult games coming up over the next few weeks, and they need someone like Lasoga to be providing the goals, because, as we said, it's a difficult area of the pitch for Leeds at the moment.
A few more comments. Carl gets in touch with Mark. Viduka was top heavy. Look at the goals he scored. I still think it's more of a fitness issue.
Yeah, you can see that when he's running, he just doesn't look completely 100% fit. But we don't know whether it's obviously coming back from the injury or whatever. We're not sure on it.
Elsewhere, a few other comments coming in. Matthew had a shout for Jordan Rhodes being the man to fix Leeds' problems up front, or add some goals rather than problems. Hugel as well, of course, has been mentioned from Preston. I'm just trying to find it. Ian Sharp. I'm not sure if this is Ian who got in touch at the start of the season, the Bolton fan who tipped Gary Medine to be top scorer in the Championship.
Yes.
Gary Medine now has 9 goals so far this season, so that's more than any Leeds United player in the Championship. And he's touting him for Leeds.
I don't know.
He's a reformed character.
Yeah, but is he the kind of inspirational signing that Leeds want? If Leeds announced Gary Medine, you imagine the reaction would be
than
exciting.
He's kind of like what Derby have got. They bring off the bench in Nugent, someone that gets at defenders, someone that roughs them up. A bit like Ashley Barnes at Burnley and the success he's had in the last few games, roughing up Premier League defenders. I think Medine's a bit similar.
How old is Gary Medine?
I would say Medine's...
Gary Medine is
27.
Age-wise, could probably fit the medium-term bill. I think Leeds are going to be looking at medium-term signings.
He's a talented player. He's lost his way a bit with all the problems that he had off the pitch and going out and drinking and getting involved in things that he shouldn't have been getting involved with. But I think that looks like it.
9 goals, 6 assists in the Championship this season. I think Leeds could do worse. Like I said, I think for a bench striker, he's got a good record about him. And with Bolton's financial situation, could be a bit of a cheap one as well, really. Potentially. The other shout was for Antonsen. I've seen a few people mention, but led to believe Leeds are just going to leave him out alone for the rest of the season, not going to recall him. But yeah, a name I hadn't really thought of in Medine, but got a decent enough record, really, and I think the costs with him probably would actually be quite cheap, given the situation at Bolton.
Mm. Yeah, I think someone might take advantage of that. If it's not Leeds, if you were, again, knocking on the door of the top six, need to add a few more goals.
I think he's just obviously just going to be overlooked a lot, but as silly as it sounds, Leeds could probably do worse, but I wouldn't say he's the answer that they need.
If you were Preston, for example, and you've got, obviously, Hugo contract running down, you could maybe cash in now for £3 or £4 or £5 million. You would look at then Gary Medine. You could probably get him on the cheap if you were Preston, that would be a bit of business I might be looking at.
If you're Preston, potentially. I just don't know whether, obviously, his record over the past few seasons not set the world alight, really. It might be on a case of just the fact that he's probably in a bit of good run of form. I can't see Leeds looking at someone like Gary Medine, but again, is it that? Do Leeds need someone like him? Or can Lasoga and Roof go to the bench and be those type of strikers? You feel that they need the out-and-out goal scorer that he probably isn't?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe just Leeds, maybe just a bit of competition. Maybe they don't necessarily need the star man to come in right now and spend a lot of money in getting them. Just someone that's going to come in and he's going to lift Lasoga, someone that's going to push him a little bit more.
I'd rather Leeds gambled on a more medium, long-term signing that probably costs a bit more. I'd rather have that, I think, because then it's more of a risk, but then I think Medine would be as well, whether he's just in a bit of good form, good momentum at the moment at Bolton, a move might disrupt that. Marriott at Peterborough, he's been mentioned.
People shouting him.
I know Leeds are genuinely interested in Maddison because they tried for him in the start of the summer. Have tried for him a couple of times but can't get him. So might be one to watch whether they'll look for Marriott as well. But for Peterborough, they're going to be looking for a lot of money for him. He scored a lot of goals in League One already this season. Maddison scored contributed the assists to a lot of them as well. So that's going to cost. But with Leeds' kind of youth policy of obviously signing younger players who can do a job for the future, a 23-year-old who scored 17, 18 goals in League One this season. Fits the bill a bit. Mm. Probably does fit the bill for that, despite the high price tag.
And a Yorkshireman as well.
There we go then. There you go. All three boxes have been ticked. But got to look at that. 17 goals, 3 assists, 21 goals, 4 assists in all competitions this season. He's 23. I know League One obviously is the league below, but there's some big potential there. Probably cost a bit, but I think would probably be worth the price tag because one for the future as well, isn't he?
Noel McGurk, not too happy about the Gary Medine shout, but that was only because Ian, who tipped him to be top scorer in the Championship, suggested him. But Ian, if he's still watching / listening, I think, what was Gary Medine? Was he 100-1? It was a ridiculous price.
I think was it Medine or Lafondre? It was one of them, wasn't it?
I thought it was Medine.
Might be. But he's going to be massive odds to be top scorer,
isn't
he?
But if he's got him each way, He's joint 12th.
I don't know.
At the moment, 9 goals.
For each way, he needs to be top 3-4, doesn't he? I don't think Bolton are going to have enough goals to sneak into that. Nah.
Not having it?
No.
Not having it?
No. Too much. Too much to do.
Noel also says, bring Larson out of retirement. Keith Martin, what about Vokes from Burnley?
Doesn't he
not
play
for sale?
Quite
well,
a bit.
He's in and out. I think that's...
He's involved, isn't he?
Yeah, the Premier League way, isn't it, if you... That kind of team like Burnley, you're not going to get a guy that's going to score 10, 15 goals in the Premier League. So, it's Volks, Barnes, Chris Wood, obviously, as well, all in that mix.
Naki Wells as well, but
Naki
he's
Wells
barely done
back.
Much, hasn't he?
Yeah, just come back from injury. He came on against Huddersfield, nearly scored.
Nearly.
That game. Very nearly.
Sam Volks, of course, previous experience, played for Leeds before. I think he's on loan from Wolves, but no. I can't do too much in there. Too much. He's too involved at Burnley.
Yeah,
you feel?
I wouldn't say Burnley be letting anybody go in that position that's involved in the matchday squad on a regular basis. Keep your shouts coming in. John Cunningham says, how the hell does Anita get a game? I don't think he's good enough to play Sunday League football. What's wrong with Dallas?
I don't think Anita had the best game against Forest, but earlier in the season when he was involved, I thought he's a very good utility player to have. Bearing in mind he is naturally a midfielder who can play fullback and is being required to play fullback at Leeds.
He's played fullback before.
But the injury is. Every time we see it, it's always been pushed back a week. It was basically he got assaulted by that Switzerland player, didn't he, on international duty, which was probably borderline prison sentence. And he's not been involved. So one will have to try and find out from Christiansen when we see him later in the week. But he has played fullback before. But again, it's kind of, it doesn't really solve anything because Berardi probably, for me, is better to be there because he's a fullback. He's naturally defensive like that. You need to be looking at a left-back for me. And again, Anita is midfielder by trade who can play fullback as well. So that's another player who's out of position and they need to be looking at that left-back, full-back position as one to add.
So that's Leeds for now. Keep your comments coming in. Who would you like to sign in the window for Leeds? Where they need to strengthen? And any thoughts on the current form? Leeds 6 at the moment in the Championship. In there by a point, Sheffield United. Just a point behind Middlesbrough. 2 in behind. What about Middlesbrough? Then let's talk about them. We'll talk about Nottingham Forest as well very shortly. Of course, Mark Warburton has gone there. Arta Karanka, the bookies' favourites. We'll hear from Gary Brazil on whether he wants the job long term. But of course, Tony Pulis now in Middlesbrough.
Yes.
Gary Monk sacked. What do you think of the decision for Mr. Monk to lose his job?
Quite surprising when we went into the Middlesbrough Wednesday game going, one of these managers could get sacked after this if they don't get a win. I don't think many people will be betting on both managers to get the sack after that one. It's obviously that Pulis is about, they've come to an agreement with him, made the change, basically said that Pulis suits the players they've got more. But then it seems like a massive waste of time taking Monk on and signing, spending some decent money on players to come in to go, we'll just go back to a Karanka style of football because that's what Pulis suits. It seems like a wasted half a season, really. It seemed like a massively pointless experiment that if there is such a squad that is so linked or kind of built to one style of football, it's going to take time to adjust. So a bit surprised by that one, but Tony Pulis, if that's their answer, then fair enough. I just feel that for everything that happened with Monk at Leeds, it just does seem like a bit of a pointless one. What's the point in trying to have this long-term new project in the Championship when you've got to be prepared to have a bit of a bumpy road along the way to get there?
I think that's fair enough. Tony Pulis comes in there, obviously not been in the Championship for quite a while. Obviously got Stoke out of there originally. Do you think he can do what the chairman wants and get Middlesbrough out? He was very bullish at the start of the season about going straight back up. Do you think Pulis can do it the first attempt?
Potentially. If the squad is so suited to this style of football, then you imagine it should work under Pulis. got to say that I did see West Brom when he was in charge at Huddersfield earlier in the season, and West Brom were an atrocious, awful football side. So you worry that could be Middlesbrough if you're a Middlesbrough fan, but the reaction seems to be overly positive. This is obviously the squad they have. It's probably going to be effective in the long run, even if it's not going to be the prettiest. And I think they're obviously more bothered about that and getting the promotion more than anything. And yeah, well, we'll have to wait and see. I'm undecided on it. But with the talent, with the money they've got available, then it's going to have to work one way or another eventually.
Yep, Tony Pulis in at Middlesbrough. What for Gary Monk then? Where do you think you'll see Gary Monk next? There's quite a few. There was a bit of talk that maybe he did have an inkling that he was under pressure, or obviously was under pressure, but maybe was going to get the sack. And there was quite a bit of talk that he was trying to get his job back at Swansea and had some talks.
Yeah, apparently that was just talk, apparently. We'll have to kind
of... It's happening in Stoke City. You're not telling me Gary Monk for Stoke City, are you?
No, only because bookies are offering next permanent Stoke manager. So I wanted to see if I'd missed anything completely. Sean Dyche is the favourite.
He's not having that.
I don't know with Gary Monk. I actually don't know where the next place to go is. Naturally, was linked with Forest, wasn't he? I think a lot of people were looking at a new opening with a manager who's recently lost his job. 16-1 for Forest, so way out. So you're not sure if he'd go there. But I think we'll have to wait and see which Championship jobs come up over the next few weeks, couple of months. And I'd probably expect to see him back sooner rather than later, because obviously he's still got that reputation. He's still quite highly regarded. And I think because of this young, upcoming English manager, reputation has probably saved him a bit, despite the spell at Middlesbrough.
We'll see what happens with Gary Monk next. Mark Warburton sacked by Nottingham Forest. They've had a really poor run of late. But Nottingham Forest, where were they going this season? They've had problems over the last couple of years with the ownership and everything that's gone with that. But for them to be 14th, they were up kind of mid-table end of November, maybe having an eye on a playoff push, which is maybe with the results in December why they've come to that decision. But are Forest going to get any better, whoever walks into that job?
Potentially. I don't know. They're an odd one, aren't they, Forest, where we expect them to be down there. They've probably done a bit better, struggled in recent weeks. Gary Brazil, of course, way down in the betting, stated he didn't want it. You talk about Forest needing kind of consistency in their managers. Gary Brazil, for his third spell in charge of Forest, was at Leeds away again. So there's some consistency in that, but not sure, really. You imagine if they get Karanka, he's proven at this level, did a very good job with Middlesbrough. Might be able to get the best out of them, but again, it's where do they go? They're not really good enough for the playoffs, for a promotion push at the moment, but they're probably good enough to stay in the division. So this could be an opportunity now to make a change and obviously try and push up the table a bit.
Hey, let's have a hear from Gary Brazil very quickly, because he was asked at the press conference after that draw with Leeds whether he fancies the job full time.
Have you been given any indication of how long you're going to be doing the job for?
No, I haven't.
So is it just prepare for obviously a big cup tie next week?
There'll be good communication with inside the football club, as there always is, and if we're asked to do that job, we'll do it. But you know, at this moment in time, nothing has been mentioned along those lines.
Is it a job you would want?
I think at this moment in time, I've been asked to take the job today, and we've done that as a squad, a group of staff who've been, I have to say, fantastic to work with, and a group of players, the ones that are on the bench and the ones that actually didn't get changed today as a group. I think they've been quality, and they've represented the football club very well.
Will you be putting your name in the hat now? Will you apply for it?
No, I don't think that's going to be a situation that would ever happen, though.
No. Definitely
there we go.
No.
But saying that, if they have a good spell in charge of him, it's saying he wouldn't apply, but didn't really say that he wouldn't take it if he was offered it. So have to wait and see.
Yeah, we'll see. Gary Brazil in charge at the moment. Aitor Karanka, the Karanka. I keep saying Karanka for some reason. I don't know why. Aitor Karanka.
Yes.
The current bookies favourite. He's odds on at the moment, but we know these markets can change very quickly. Roy Keane, 9-2. Can't see that one.
Keane's a bit of an odd one, isn't it?
He's a former player, but and that's probably where... where it starts and ends. That one that our man Paul Heckenbottom
if he gets it,
Bridges and Carnduff agency.
We'll get a nice agency fee there so they could go for that, I reckon.
I would advise Paul Heckenbottom not to take that job.
Nah. It's not going to be much better than where he's at, is it?
Should they just give it Nigel Clough just because one day he's going to take that job?
I don't know. Obviously, for him, it'd be good because Forest's probably going to stay in this division. Burton probably won't. Eventually, they will go down. But I don't know. I don't know if he'd want it, weirdly, because of obviously the Brian Clough connection with Forest. So it's like quite a bit to live up to, in fairness.
Just a bit.
I don't know if he'd feel he could probably take them to European glory. So I'll have to wait and see.
You never know. Maybe he'll wait, Nigel Clough, until Forest have been bought by some billionaires.
Yeah. And in the top four of the Premier League. Right, I'll come in now, lads. Give me the reins. It'll be all right.
Elsewhere, let's do a bit of transfer talk before we hear from Owen Coyle's life stories. We should get to our features because we're running out of time, as usual. Wolves lining up a move for Norwich striker Nelson Oliveira.
Yes, that's been the talk over the past couple of days. Give everyone a chance, Wolves. You're already far too good. Just give everyone else a chance. But obviously, he's not. There's been talk of how happy he is at Norwich. There was talk of a player revolt recently as well at Norwich. It's not working for one reason or another, because watching them at Leeds, they were very good. Got a lot of talent in their squad, but it's just not clicking. But speak about goal getters, you probably back him to get goals in this division.
I think he's got seven. Has he got seven goals, I think.
Which, considering Norwich's run so far this season, is not that bad of a return, really.
No, Jared Bowen from Hull, their winger, interest in Premier League sides.
Yeah, Brighton and Swansea linked with a move. I know Grosicki would get an agency fee for you as well. Jared Bowen being the one that's linked away. For Hull, you feel it's just going to be another window of players being linked away rather than players coming in, so I'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, window of doom, potentially, for Hull. Yeah. It's a season of doom, maybe, as well, because we said at the start of the season, could Sunderland and Hull both go down? Sunderland's form has improved under Chris Coleman, but they're still struggling to get out of it. And for Hull, well, they've not won for a while, definitely not in their last five games. Hull, a couple of draws over Christmas with Fulham and Derby. Decent results on paper, but a devastating loss to Bolton.
Yeah, it's disappointing. They performed well at Elm Road against Leeds. Probably, as Christiansen admits, they probably shouldn't have won that game because Hull did play quite well. But yeah, they're still in that relegation situation. We spoke about before the amount of goals they score. If they could sort the defence out, they might be a decent outfit, but goals have dried up a bit in recent weeks. Of course, the 2-2 draw with Fulham at the KCON, but before that was a 0-0, a 1-0 loss to Leeds, a 1-0 loss to Cardiff, and then a 1-0 loss to Bolton this weekend. So while the defence is tightening up a bit and they're only conceding the odd goal, the attack's dried up a bit. So a bit of a problem over at Hull, but joint on points with Burton. Real kind of panic, yeah. I think, at the moment, given how we expect them to be more of a selling than a buying club in the transfer windows.
Yeah, and when you look at the form as well, obviously Burton, they've been steady for Burton and what they are, but recently, you know, three wins in their last five, only lost once. And then you're looking above Bolton with three wins as well. Barnsley have only lost one in five as well. Reading on another dismal run, a real season of struggle for them. But all those sides down the bottom, you do look and fear for Hull, especially, you know, if what everyone expects to happen and they sell players in January, it's going to get even tougher.
Yeah, Burton as well, they've been good on their travels. If they could sort out this home form, then that could be a real issue for the likes of Hull, because there is potential down there with Sunderland managerial change and Birmingham getting the victory over Leeds. It's got to be looking over the shoulders a bit.
Let's do an Owen Coyle life story as this continues, even though it's a brand new year. Of course, Owen Coyle, a former Football League favourite. We hope to have him back one day, but until he returns, we will continue to talk about his life in full.
Yes, this week he's talking about managerial changes and why, when a manager comes in, do results become better, which he pointed out statistically they don't.
Oh.
So he just tries to go on and explain why.
They don't when he's the manager.
Well, yeah.
A new manager comes into a group, then that group ultimately are start from scratch. They have to then impress. So whether subconsciously people find, you know, an extra 5-10%, I don't really know, because it's one of those ones that, you know, you probably need to have a scientific study for many, many years to try and come up with an answer. But when all said and done, it happens, and when it happens, you coming in, have to make sure that you look to get the best reaction, and then continually look for that consistent level of sustaining the level that the team's capable of working to.
Obviously, the result 5-1 is disappointing, but again, they're from mistakes.
And Harry Kewell, the Crawley manager, has started with 3 defeats, so disappointment for him.
So Harry Kewell still awaits his first win as a manager. But Crawley have been well and truly put to the sword tonight.
I should start the feature, seeing as we don't have much time left.
Yeah.
Double quick features tonight,
good.
Tom.
Good news is Crawley have been in form and we don't have time to talk about it. What a shame. They're now closer to the playoffs than they are to relegation. 9 points off the playoffs, 10 points off relegation. But the Christmas period probably makes you seem better than you are because all the fixtures are compacted together. And I've seen Yeovil journalists and fans alike describe it as the worst refereeing performance they've ever seen. So he's been gifted it. Just a shame we don't have more time to explore that great form, really.
I'm sure we'll do it more next week. But Crawley, doing well. Well done, Harry. Don't do New Year's resolutions, but it should have been to make better use of the features.
Yes, yeah, probably work on timing would be a good one.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
Never mind, we'll
Tom,
never learn.
You've got about 35 seconds
right, let's go.
Do this.
Championship, good day for Barnsley. Big 3 points as they beat relegation rivals Sunderland 1-0 away from home, as we already said. Bad for Bristol City, not really mentioned this. We're hammered 5-0 away at Aston Villa into League One. It's good for Shrewsbury. Salop extend their league unbeaten run to 6 with victory over Oldham. It's bad for Peterborough, because on Saturday, MK Dons had 2 men sent off and they still lost 1-0 into League Two. Is good for Luton. They had a man sent off early. They were 1-0 down, but came back to win 4-2 against Lincoln City. Bad for Chesterfield again. A man sent off. They were defeated again. This time 1-0 to Coventry. Good days, bad days for this week. The first one in 2018.
Excellent. Well done, Tom. Thanks for listening. That's all we've got time for on the FL 72. Tom Maguire's next.